podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If the incomings was done over 4 years and the outgoings was done over 4 years, I go, funny. Okay, fine. That's not what's happening, is
no,
it?
No, exactly.
What these clubs are doing is they're just pushing back the problem as a roundaway to pass FFP.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
We started then. My name's James.
We have.
How are you doing?
I don't know. I just thought we'd start while I was watching you tap away on your phone.
Much appreciated.
It's not FPL today. It's People's Poll today, which means it's a mix mash of this, that, and the other. What are we talking about, James?
There were three options in the poll. One was there was a report released, I think, late last week into what happened at the Euro 2020 final at Wembley Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
With several counts of disorder. Many of you will have seen the scenes of obviously so-called, and I'd like to put it that way, so-called England fans storming into Wembley Stadium, reports of people nicking wheelchairs to get disabled access and the sort of shit you don't really want to talk about. This report also claimed that there were 6,000 people waiting outside Wembley Stadium at the full-time whistle ready to storm the place again if England had won.
That's mad.
And the police were not going to be in a position to deal with the situation. Long and short of it, the report doesn't blame any one kind of such individual, i.e. Wembley Stadium or the police, just a collective absolute balls up, which now means England have got to play a Euro qualifier in their next qualifying campaign behind closed doors and possibly puts a threat towards any potential joint hosting bid for the 2030 World Cup. Do we deserve to have it here? Do we even want it here after that?
Well, maybe not.
Well, the world might be a little bit different by 2030, but I don't trust English fans and booze particularly. With age, I'm learning that more and more.
Nah.
There was also the possibility to discuss this fan-led report into football governance. There's 47 recommendations that have been given, which it's hoped that government's going to pass through. That's the kind of mainly one of the objectives is to protect the future of our football clubs, also to stop things like Super League breakaways, the whole kind of reform of football. The Premier League clubs had a meeting last Friday. We don't know what's come out of that meeting as yet. We are definitely going to come back to this subject. There's a few patrons who've gone to me. Knock, knock, James. I've said, yeah, don't worry about that. At some point, this will come back. But today, we're going to be talking about, as voted for on Twitter, by the ongoing investigation going on at Juventus. And potential, it's even been described as potential demotion.
Yeah, I've seen in a number of places that one of the threats around what has been happening at Juventus is that they could be put down into a lower league. Very interesting. I don't think it's had that as much media coverage as one might expect with a scandal like this. But perhaps because it's an ongoing investigation and we don't have loads of details. And it's also very not very sexy as a scandal, is it really? Accounting irregularities. Doesn't really inspire people to want to get massively excited.
Well, I don't know if this comes under fraud.
It is fraud. It's not as funny as someone taking a bung, for example, though, is it?
Well, we'll come back to that.
Envelopes of cash.
Fraud, it means jail term, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could well do.
For certain individuals.
They're financial crimes. It's not, for clarity, Juve are being investigated, not by FIFA or UEFA or any footballing authorities. They're being investigated by the Italian police.
Correct.
The financial division of the Italian police. So this is criminal investigations that are going on right now, as opposed to breaking any football potential laws or FFP or anything like that. Although it's obviously led by...
Yeah, it FFP. Leads to a wider conversation of how FFP is kind of in the mud, as the kids would want to say. It's interesting you mentioned bribes, because I'm sure that's your phone going. I'm sure it'll ring in a minute. It normally always does, mate. You heard the term calciopoli, Serge?
No.
It's a term given for the match fixing scandal in Italy in the noughties. which was uncovered in 2006 when Juventus were demoted and stripped of one of their league titles through influencing of match officials. Basically, the people in charge of Juventus, cut a long story short, were wanting to get certain referees appointed for certain games who would give Juventus favourable decisions. I don't watch a lot of Serie A football, but when you listen to people who support other teams, there's still a common spread belief that Juventus and other big clubs, it should be said, are always given favourable 50-50 calls over the lesser established clubs in that league. And there is a suspicion that Italian football to this day is still corrupt. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an unsubstantiated claim, but it's what a lot of people believe. Obviously, in that case, in 2006, they weren't the only club that were penalised. I mean, Lazio, Milan, I want to say Regina, actually, I think, were the other club that were implicated in what happened in 2006. But Juventus were the only one that was actually demoted and stripped, obviously, a league title. There is some speculation, because one of the things that's interesting about this, quite often, say like with Derby, we've obviously done some research into Derby County recently. A lot of the stuff that's being investigated in their accounting was actually, it's kind of been and gone. But this is right now. This is 2019 to 2021 is the period that the Italian authorities are looking into. And that includes a period, obviously, of Juventus winning the league title in 1920. There is speculation that they could be stripped. 1920.
Oh, sorry.
With the season that they won it. Oh, they could be stripped of that league title. Obviously, Inter last season, Antonio finally ended their long stretch of, what was it, 9 or 10 consecutive league titles. They are the dominant force in Italian football, having recovered, obviously, quite quickly from that scandal in 2006. Could relegation happen again here?
I don't think they give a shit if it does it? They'll just come straight back up and start dominating again because they're so wealthy. But I'm really surprised because obviously...
Are they wealthy? That's a wider conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, it would be a blow, but they don't particularly do crazily well in the Champions League. They let Cristiano Ronaldo go in the summer to try and get him off the wage bill because they couldn't afford him. So perhaps it's a fair point that they don't have enough money.
I think this links into so many different kind of subplot stories. One obviously being the Super League.
Yeah.
Juventus are still in bed with Barca and Real Madrid, still believing make it happen. That this ridiculous concept idea is going to happen, and it may come back to the table in a form that is similar now to the Champions League, but recognised as a different competition. But they need each other, don't they? Juventus need the money. This is one of the biggest pulls with those three clubs at the moment, is they can't really compete with the Premier League clubs in terms of the amount of endorsement money that these clubs are making. I mean, Barcelona, we know, have chased it through a pit hole. Juventus aren't in financial trouble. But
Barca were probably comparable when they had Messi. I think without Messi, they're definitely... But
Barca are in a worse financial state for not having Messi. We know
this. Yeah, of course.
And the same applies to Juventus without Ronaldo.
Of course.
Which makes it very interesting that, I mean, it's fairly well documented. Most people know that the 21 odd million pound that Manchester United physically paid for Cristiano Ronaldo, they've made that money back already in what it's made in terms of share price,
everything,
sponsorship, endorsement, all the things that come with a Ronaldo or a Lionel Messi. Yeah, so Juventus are in a poorer position. For losing Ronaldo. I'm surprised really that they let that happen just because of the worth to him, unless he obviously desperately wanted out of that football club. And it is one of a number of transfers that's being investigated. It's worth saying there is no wrongdoing here against Ronaldo or Manchester United. A lot of what's been... There's a report of a wired conversation that's been tapped between two officials of Juventus where apparently in reference to Ronaldo's transfer... One of them says, if they find this document, we're fucked, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's in terms of... A lot of the investigation is to do with how they're moving the money. So, again, those who listened to the Derby podcast previously, so just say that magic word.
Amortization.
Thank you, because I can't. a lot of the dealings and understanding of the investigation of transfers, how they move this money. I still can't quite get my head around how this shit works. Because I said
it was going to be one of my questions to you. Do you understand what they're being accused of doing?
Well, it's falsifying. I think accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But there's loopholes that they move it round, and a part of that is through the magic word.
Amortization.
Cheers, thank you.
Mm.
One case example is Juventus did a swap deal with Miralem Pjanic at Barcelona. Here we go, it's two of the Super League clubs again. So I think Juventus played Arthur, paid Barca 70 million for Arthur, and Barca paid Juventus 58 million for yep. Pjanic, something like that. It was 12 million difference one way or the other way around.
Exactly.
Anyway, so they put all the sale money straight into the accounts, but the money that they're paying for the new player gets spread over the length of the contract, be it 3-4 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's bollocks, isn't it?
It's massaging the books.
But there's only nice £12 million worth of money of moved, and yet both clubs can put between 60, 70 yes. million extra amount of money yes. into their accounts.
Yeah.
Right, this is bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair to account.
So the part that of that is the saying, right, so was the value of money on Pjanic, who was near in his 30s, for example, was the value of him anywhere near that high? Now, Miralem Pjanic was a very, very good footballer, but he's now out on loan at Besiktas, I think I want to say. And Arthur, I saw, was outstanding for Barcelona at Tottenham, Wembley in the Champions League in the 18-19 season. But were they actually worth that amount of money?
No.
Debatable. It's not just Juventus that are being investigated. So I think the Italian authorities are investigating a total of, I think, 62 transfers.
Yes, but 42 of which I think are Juventus.
Correct. That's why there's so much focus on Juve. There are other clubs
that are involved with it. Yeah. I think we're kind of looking and heading towards a standardisation of accounting for football.
Do you think this sort of investigation could overhaul it? Because, I mean, obviously the police...
It's exactly the same thing that happened with Derby. You're right. They chose to account for things in a different way. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's not wrong. But
now,
it's just different.
Now we know what's happened to Derby, right? 21 points.
Yes.
You're getting relegated.
Yeah.
And there are rumours that Derby could get liquidated.
Not. Yeah, that's also in the background. No,
Derby
as well.
Are going to get relegated. They're on net 1 point. That they are going to get relegated.
Yeah, it's highly likely.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. That'll be a great
I hope for their supporters that they don't. Yeah. And I hope for Juventus supporters that they don't get demoted. But there is, I think there's a little bit between a lot of us of, no, you wanted that Super League, fuck them. But I put my hands up and wear my Spurs jacket today. One of my teams tried to
run away
with it as well. I get that.
Yeah.
But Juventus is still trying to do it as well.
We need to think about potentially just standardising accounting within football clubs. Like the valuation of a player is based on XYZ, put a formula together. It doesn't matter if the formula is right or wrong, as long as it's the same for everybody. Then you can say, right, Harry Kane is 29 years old. He's got X number of England caps. So anyone with more than X number of international caps, anyone with X number of international goals, you kind of come up with a number that then gives you a valuation of 60 million or 70 million.
Are you suggesting a proposal that actually, I mean, we mentioned the idea of football governance, right? Are you actually talking about... a governance that would define what a transfer value of a player is.
Yeah, and how many years are you allowed to amortise a player for? Is it only the length of their contract, or is it longer if you think you might get a renewal out of them?
To be honest, that would be
interesting.
If the incomings was done over 4 years and the outgoings was done over 4 years, I'd go, okay, fine. That's not what's happening, is it?
No, exactly.
What these clubs are doing is they're just pushing back the problem as a roundaway to pass FFP.
Yeah, they're waiting until they do make a big profit, and that profit will then absorb it all up, and then suddenly it's all out of the wash. Exactly that. So, yeah, I think there needs to be some kind of standardisation of the way that players are valued on your books, what a value you're allowed to assign to someone on your books and what you're not, because there might be a little bit of that going on as well. If on my balance sheet I've got Heung-min Son for £50 million, James, and then next year I think he's worth £60 million, that's £10 million of profit that I've kind of made appear from nowhere, as if by magic. And that happens as well with some of the clubs as well, so...
Again, I have to make clear, this isn't just Juventus. So, I mean, the most extreme example of these transfers that I've seen actually isn't involving Juventus. One of these transfers getting investigated actually involves Napoli. So Napoli bought a striker from Lille, Victor Osimhen. You ever heard of him?
Well, he's been tearing up trees, hasn't he? Well,
apparently so.
No.
71.25 million euros, apparently, yes. Napoli played
big money.
Lille for this player in the summer of 2020. It is a lot of money.
Mm.
Right. Now, in reverse, four Napoli players went to Lille. These players included a goalkeeper called Carenzis and three other players, quite frankly, are unheralded and you probably won't have heard of, with all the due respect to them. These four players were all valued at roughly £5 million each, or €5 million. Therefore, Lille have got paying Napoli 20 million euros worth of players, right? So Napoli can get the 20 million worth of €20 million worth of money for the four players, and obviously spread the 71 million on Osimhen over 4 or 5 years of his contract, right, yeah. Whatever. All of a sudden, you're landing at kind of a net. Maybe even Napoli are even in profit on the 1 year dealing out of this one transfer. These four players who went to Lille, the goalkeeper made one appearance in a French Cup game, and the other three players never made an appearance for the first team and have now all moved back to Italy and are playing in Serie C or Serie D, which are the League One or League Two equivalents in England.
Mm. A few hundred thousand in value, if that.
But this is bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what's Lille's role in this? This is what I don't get. Is that because Lille are saying, we value the player at 40 or 50 million, you give us 71 million, we'll kind of take farm these players for you for 6 months to a year, and that helps fix your accounts as well?
Yeah.
That's what this is, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that.
This is bollocks, mate.
Yeah, and they'll probably make 5 million.
It's not even fair on the three or four players who've gone to Lille for this period.
Chucked on a roundabout.
Cash cows, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. And this is why, obviously, the authorities are now getting involved, and it's under the microscope. And criminal charges are definitely potentially on the table. What's Paratici's role at Spurs? Director of football.
Yeah.
Director of football is currently one of the crew under investigation.
He is, yeah.
Should he get found guilty, does that mean he has to leave Spurs?
I wouldn't just... To be honest, Spurs...
You can't keep him employed, surely, as Spurs director of football when
Spurs
he's just been
absolutely
charged
implicated
with
in this.
Criminal...
Well, I don't know what his role is in terms of the accounting, because, I mean, in terms of Paratici at Tottenham now, and that's the only thing I can speak of my experience of him, I think he's got a budget, but I'm not sure he's signing the checks as such.
Yeah,
Daniel Levy's still doing that. So he's obviously buying players and selling players and doing the trading and stuff. I don't know if that was his role at Juventus or if he's implicated in more of the financial side of things. The guy who's replaced him, whose name escapes me at the moment, he was interviewed for 9 hours by Italian police this weekend, gone. In terms of an impact, and we talk about, like I said, this story can spiral into so many different ways. If Paratici is found guilty at Tottenham and the club has to sack him, or he's banned from football for 2 years or whatever, which I guess this sort of thing is possible.
Yep.
Antonio Conte walk out the club as well, mate.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's part there because of his relationship with Paratici that was built at Juventus previously.
Right.
So there are many knock-ons onto this. People probably think, oh, Man City, they got done for FFP, right? And they kind of found loopholes. We know, you can say they were cleared, whatever, right? They just paid for the best lawyers, as far as I'm concerned. João Cancelo and Danilo swap deal with Juventus is another one that's being investigated. Now, again, it's worth saying Man City currently are not being investigated, but it's another one where that kind of swap, the same as the Arta-Pjanic deal, has happened, and everyone's a winner in terms of their balance sheets to help pass FFP.
Yes.
So where it goes... there's a little bit of me that wants the police to kind of unearth everything. I'm not saying I want Juventus demoted or anything like that. It's more likely they'll get a kind of slap on the wrist fine and probably a little bit of a points deduction. It's worth saying they're only fifth in Italy at the moment, about 7 points adrift in Champions League places as well at the moment. They're not in a good run at the moment. But I want this all to come out in the wash. This can't go on.
I'm much happier that it's the police conducting the investigation than FIFA or UEFA.
Oh, they don't give a shit as well. Like, because the police will just—it's criminal or it's not.
Yeah, exactly that. I do think the police will investigate it much further. I wouldn't trust UEFA or FIFA to be carrying out an investigation like this, because they all, you know, end up getting seduced by the money and one of the reasons
obviously Man City got round stuff was because UEFA's investigation was part corrupt and it's on its own side, right? So, I mean, there's nobody painting UEFA as like the brilliant light or anything. So, yes, I am. And if people have committed genuine fraud, then you're going to get done for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there might be nothing comes of it. Yeah. They might get completely cleared, it's worth saying. But definitely, I'm angry about this transfer dealings. Christian Romero, who's now at Tottenham,
he's
another transfer that's being investigated, right? So Romero, and Paratici was part of this deal from Juventus, Romero went on loan to Atalanta for 2 years. They paid a certain amount of money. This is common, I don't know, $5 million per annum or whatever. Probably cover his wages and a bit more.
Yeah.
It was then agreed on the two-year loan that at the end of the two-year loan, Atalanta could buy the player, in this case Romero, for I think it was 13 Six, million. So
million.
It was quite cheap.
So they buy, might be the, yeah, your 13 might be so sterling and my they, 16 is euros.
They possibly. They buy Romero this summer gone. And you're going, oh, he's at Tottenham. Well, all it means is you can't play for like three teams in the same calendar football season. Now, Romero didn't even play for Atalanta this season anyway, so it's not a problem. But Tottenham are just going to spend 40-odd million on him. So Juventus are making money, Atalanta's making money, except when you turn it round, actually Tottenham haven't bought him. You know that, right?
Is he on loan?
Nobody actually really knows.
That's really interesting. It wasn't from Juventus to Atalanta, though. I'm pretty sure.
Apparently, he's on loan with an option to buy for £40 million.
Yeah. I need to remind myself. It wasn't from Juve to Atalanta, though, that deal, from my understanding. I thought it was Bologna or another club.
No, I don't think so.
But the way the deal was that club had bought him for 26 million euros. So the fact that there was a 16 million euro buyout clause for Atalanta was like, why would you buy a player and then automatically have a clause for someone else can buy him from you for 10 million euros cheaper than you just bought him? So Atalanta only triggered that clause when they knew they were getting 40 million from Spurs.
What's in it for Atalanta to buy the player for 13 million, admittedly, there's a 25 million or so profit for them if the player gets bought, which he probably will do, in fairness.
Yeah.
But what's the sense in them just letting him go on loan?
Take the money.
It's weird. Yeah. Why are Tottenham not just buying him? We know Tottenham got it. We know, because we've investigated this a couple of weeks ago. Tottenham have got excess cash. It's not from FFP, it's not a problem. So why haven't Tottenham just gone, there's the 40 million? Now, you could look at it and you could say, well, in the case of, say, Jadson Fernandes and Carlos Vinicius, who they got, who were unproven, they got him in on loan to have a look with a view of buying them. This fella was voted the best defender in Serie A last year.
Okay.
You don't need to take him on loan.
Right, yeah, fair
enough. No, he's played for Argentina in a Copa America final. You know there's a footballer there. These sort of things I'm uncomfortable with. There's so many things in transfer deals I'm uncomfortable with. Loan deals, another one.
Yeah.
Gives me the right hump. Loan deals between Premier League clubs. I can't. It just makes me really uncomfortable.
Yep.
I don't like it at all. And I hope part of our football governance is eventually going to cover all these sort of things as well. But the amortization, did I say it right?
Yep.
Yes. Of players is only going to change if UEFA and FIFA outlaw it.
Yeah, well, or standardise it. It's not something that you need to...
It's also not helping the stability of football.
No, of course.
Because these clubs, are just pushing back their problems over and over. And I think eventually we will get to a case where a really big club gets in serious financial problems.
Like if they're not already.
We can look at the case and people say, Scottish Football, Rangers are a massive football club, right? Who ended up having to basically reform and start again, essentially, from the bottom division in Scotland. It's going to take that, like the implosion of an Everton. Good win last night, that lads. Well done, cheers.
I was wondering if that would get a mention in this pod.
I'll write shot a goal when that went in.
It was a hell of a finish as well.
It was.
I mean, it was his shot that rebounded off the bar, wasn't it, for Richarlison?
Richarlison, that was comedy for him last night.
Oh, mate, he must be livid. And he's never the happiest at the best of times, Richarlison.
No.
So he must be doubly livid yesterday.
But then if you take the case of Everton, again, we've investigated them. We know that they probably, I mean, that's a mess at the top of the football club at the moment. They probably need to sell at least one of Richarlison or Calvert-Lewin next summer. We've discussed that already. but then couldn't, it makes me feel like, can Everton manipulate these books in the same way? Like, all we're encouraging football clubs to do is be in debt.
Yeah.
And that's not really where the place should be. No. And then what happens is it filters down, and then we get scenarios like Derby County, who are one game from hitting the promised land, lose the playoff final to Aston Villa, and now there's rumours of liquidation happening. Like, they can't happen. So it spirals. When football's corrupt at the top, unfortunately, it's going to filter down, isn't it? Mm. As people try and chase the money. It's always chasing the money, unfortunately.
Yeah, indeed it is. We shall watch this story with hawk eyes, James, because we are still early in the investigation into Juve. So how it unfolds and what they end up getting punished with.
I'm going for €100,000 fine and 3-point deduction. I'm going for.
Okay.
Like something not a big deal. I think it was Chievo, I think, were found guilty of a similar charge a few years ago, and their punishment was roughly that.
I'm going to go for someone go ends up in jail.
It's going to be Paratici.
Make it an interesting scandal.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Only at Tottenham. Only could something happen in Italy and it influence what happens at Tottenham only.
Yeah, it's crazy. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back at you tomorrow with Sky Fantasy Football on Thursday. Clash of the Correspondents, James. You've got Sean, Spirit Blues. Let's see how he is after yesterday's
win. I'm so pleased. I'm recording with Sean and Mig tonight. Yeah, yeah. I'm so
both
pleased.
Both in good moods.
For Sean, that they had a good result last night. He's promised some sort of exposure on something which should possibly go on a people's poll. So I'm looking forward to what that's going to be.
Oh, exciting.
Sky Fantasy tomorrow.
Exactly that. And Friday, live stream? There's a deadline,
no,
isn't
full
there?
Game, so, full game week full review, game mate. Review. Is it?
No. There's no midweek fixtures. What are you on about?
Wildcard.
Yes. Wildcard reveal.
Wildcard podcast.
Fantastic.
Am I just doing that on my own now, like talking to a wall?
Well, I'll still make at least 2 transfers and possibly 3.
You can come and grill me on it.
We shall see. So wherever you're listening to the podcast, make sure you are subscribed. You'll get notified as soon as it all goes live. If you need more Planet FPL content, then you just need to head over to patreon.com/planetfpl. We've got kind of our basic, intermediate and advanced tiers, and everybody's getting a bump up this month to 1 tier up. So at the basic tier, you get access to all of our additional content, except the advanced tier videos.
Which includes, well, the intermediates get the advanced tiers, don't they?
They do indeed.
Yeah. Which includes today's podcast is probably more Juventus, ironically, Champions League preview.
Champions League fantasy at Tottenham tomorrow and the differential show on Friday. So wherever you are, I hope you're staying safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child. Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.